Troy Galloway is a construction manager and consultant, commercial and residential builder, and a certified inspector for all commercial and residential buildings. And now, here is About the House with Troy Galloway.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to About the House. This is your humble host, Troy Galloway, and we got an awesome show today. It's something that is very, you know, it's actually, so we're doing it right now in the mid of winter, but it's just as important in the middle of winter as it is in the middle of summer, as it is in the, well, with everybody with allergies and things that people got to keep their houses locked up. And like on a lot of our buildings, you know, like our tall high rises and our condominiums and such that literally don't have the opportunity to open up windows, this show is absolutely perfect for you. But you're wondering, what is that, right? Well, it's about, which I've been promising, air indoor pollution, or, you know, pollutants that we actually are creating or that we have inside our home. And the more we keep our houses locked up, the more we actually have these problems. But hey, let me tell you a little bit about me in case you are brand new to the show. My name's Troy Galloway, as I've already said, but I'm the owner of Galloway Building Services. Now, you see that this here is actually, show is being sponsored by Construction Consumer Advocacy Institute. Say that fast three times, huh? Anyway, so what our advocacy is it's about educating people about everything about construction. It's kind of like Consumer Reports, but just for construction type stuff, things. Anything about your house that you may want to learn. And About the House has always been about education and about teaching people different things about your home and how to help begin to stop from being ripped off. As a matter of fact, that's how I came about writing this book that you see in front of the computer here and how to hire a contractor. And listen, if you folks come out there too, and I don't have a site to that, but if you go to the Construction Consumer Advocacy Institute, www.yadda, go to our webpage and sign up, you'll get this book for free. It's a $25 value for no cost, just by signing up for our for the Institute. And what you'll get with that is with the Institute is you'll get coupons and tips and all kinds of stuff from manufacturers for products, from different kind of contractors and such that you'll be able to learn more about. Save some money, learn about what you're doing, make sure you don't get ripped off. Reason I was able to write the book is because I have been a builder for years. I've been doing this now for 50 years. As you can tell, I got a little bit, I got a little snow on the roof here, you know. Hey, I'm just glad to have snow. And it's my age. And this is all I've ever been doing is construction work. And I do construction expert witnessing. And we do that through GBS, but I also do it through the Construction Consumer Advocacy. So if you ever have a problem with your construction project or something, or if you have a question about it, you want to make sure it's being done right. That's what I've always been hired for. So what I see is the same problems happening over and over and over again. So I wrote the book. Hopefully, as much as I love to get the jobs, you know, there is so many poor contractors out there, I can't keep up. So I thought, let's write the book, help people. And like I said, you sign up at our construction advocacy and you will get that book for free. So what you got to do is you got to sign up and then hit comments on this video too. If you hit comments or anything like this on it, hit like, subscribe, and comment and say, hey, Troy, I saw your video, watched it all the way to the end, and I would like to get one of your free books. That's $25 value. Absolutely yours. But hey, enough of that. Let's get on with the show. This is a great show, and it is very important, and it's very, like I say, time sensitive. Indoor air pollution. Yeah, ain't that crazy? And but actually, indoor air pollution is probably even worse than outdoor air pollution, especially in some environments that it is. But let's just kind of go into it. We're going to go into the types and the pros and cons. But every day we have to, you know, basically every day we have to breathe to live. But if we continue to breathe polluted air, what's happening with that? Well, studies are showing us air pollution is worse inside than outside. And it's adding a lot of cause to respiratory diseases and like asthma, allergies, health concerns. You know, I go into a lot of homes and people think that somebody's done something wrong or they're having problems. And basically what it is it's the indoor air pollution. And we're going to talk all about that. We're going to talk about the different kinds. We can't hit every tiny little thing today because the show is limited to its time. But we're going to hit on the main things. And everything that we're going to be touching on pretty much is are things that you as a homeowner or a landlord or a tenant can do for yourself. So think about, well, I want to jump right in there and talk about that. You'll want to do this, especially if you got somebody that's having health issues in your home. You know, I don't know how many times I hear it. Troy, you know, we're in this house. We're sick. We go out. We're gone for a few days, a day or so. I start feeling better. My eyes are clearing up. They don't understand what's happening. So I'm hoping that this show will absolutely help that and to teach us what's going on. All right, sources of indoor air pollutants. All right, well, you know, our bathroom, which you see right here, our bathrooms. Well, we get mold and mildew and all kinds of pathogens that are happening in there. You know, honestly, our bathrooms are really very unhealthy. I know that's where we got to go to get clean, but they're very unhealthy. Actually, go check out one of my videos of the past. We got the great fart fan debate. You'll love it. Fart fans are not designed for farts, right? They're not, even though they might help, depending on how bad, but honestly, they are for getting the moisture out of your bathrooms. So I know it's a fine line, depending on where you're at. Sometimes it's good to have moisture in your house, especially on a cold winter day, have a little bit of moisture into it. But if you start seeing any of these kind of mold or any kind of issues, which we're gonna talk more about that as we get into it, you wanna take care of that. Turn down fart fans on. Right? Exhaust fans on. Get that air out of there and get that moisture out of your house and get it all the way out of your house. Another one is your air conditioning units and because they're unable to remove any, you know, the pathogens. Also, that we call it, which we'll talk about, VOCs, things like that. You know, they literally will take this poisonous air or polluted air and or both and send it throughout the house and make it even worse. But that's actually all over with everything. Living, like in the living room area, which actually I say living room area, it's also bedrooms for us dog lovers. Animal hair is really bad. Dust, tobacco smoke is really bad. Diesel particles, I mean, that's crazy. You wouldn't even think so. Of course, we'll talk more about the VOCs and such. Outdoor air, some of this actually is coming into the home of pollutants because your hair is air, your home. Even though it's not airtight, it's airtight as possibly we can, but we still are bringing in our outside air, and which we need fresh air. Without the right kind of ventilation systems, you literally are bringing, so you're poison on the inside, you got poison on the outside, and you're compounding it. All of this needs to be taken care of. Your bedroom, we talked about that, you know, from dust mites and such. Your laundry room, for cleaning products, mold, and other kinds of problems. And kitchen, our kitchen. Well, you know, we got the cooking devices that we need to also, with gas, for instance. We get some carbon monoxide poisoning from that. That's also issues. Fuel oil, you know, some people still have fuel oil that they cook with and or they even heat their house with. I know myself, I'm old enough to grow up and we had heating oil. So, and that's this basically heating oil is a diesel fuel, again, just a different grade of diesel fuel. So these are different areas that you want to start thinking of looking at for concerning the air pollution in your home. And here we just kind of talk about this a little bit again, you know, same thing, just kind of a little bit different format of looking at it. But let's jump right in here, see what we got here, different kind of talk about the different pollutants and what we could do to take care of it or watch for. So we got the chemical pollutants and we got our VOCs, volatile organic compounds, VOCs, VOX. And it's actually indoor, you know, and it talks about this. Indoor air pollution affects the quality of the air that we breathe. You know, it's not just inside, it's outside, it's inside. And actually, it's even worse, I think, on the inside because it's concentrated. And a lot of our everyday household items contain, you know, hazardous chemicals that can have great long-term effects not on us and our family. And when you got little ones that are growing up, and they're developing, you know, into their bodies and their minds are developing. we sure don't want to retard it in any way, hurt them in any manner by polluting them. So let's just think about that when we're doing our job here and when we're looking at our pollutants in our home. I know it kind of sounds kind of horrible, but you know, the truth is with our pollutants, the tighter we get our homes, the more problems we have. And when I was getting my going to college and I was getting my building engineering degree, and actually it was in conservation and building design. This used to be a big thing because we was just learning at the time how to make our homes more airtight. And we had some of them things that was actually so airtight, they caused, until we learned about ventilation, we literally caused great damage. So, you know, hey, live and learn, I reckon. Too bad for, you know, but we took care of it. And most of these homes we was working with were experimental homes. So that's how you learn. All right, cleaning products. Well, you know, we talk about cleaning products. You know, we got all throughout your house, you got all kinds of cleaning products that we have to take care of that are problems. You got ammonia, bleaches, different kinds of products. You wouldn't think that that would be an issue, but it absolutely, definitely is a problem. So look and see when you're doing your cleaning products, look on the back of them and see if they say anything about, you know, don't use this product in an enclosed area. Some of our tile cleaners are very toxic. Some of them make your eyes bleed. They're so bad. Your nose bleed. They're horrible in areas that are confined. So just read the back of them. You want to make sure that whatever you're using, especially around little ones, or I'm past little ones, but I still have pets. And your pets can be damaged. And yes, pets get allergies. And yes, pets can be contaminated just right along with you. And we love our pets just as much as we love, you know, our children. Sometimes, Harley and Jason, sometimes we might love our pets even more. Wink, wink. I'll be in trouble for that one at the next family get together. But anyway, so that, cleaning products. Now, let's move over to that. We'd kind of hit on that, what to look for. Paint. So, and our paints, you know, a lot of our paints actually have, this is where a lot of our VOCs come out of. You can get, now, we're going to have a painting company come on, a manufacturing company come on here in a few, well, I'm hoping in a few weeks. And we'll talk more about that. Now, we've all been in a freshly painted house. And I know, I'm one of those bad ones. I love the smell of fresh paint in a home. It just makes me feel new, makes it feel fresh. But I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people literally get, you know, sick from it and make them nauseous from it. And especially whenever it's wintertime or it's summertime and they got the house all cooped up and then they just got that fresh smell of paint. But you don't have to get that. Because, you know, you can get that we're going to call it non-smelling paint. Doesn't have the VOX to it, the VOCs in it. And so as that, it will not be any kind of damage. So if you are sensitive to painting problems or the smell of that, you do not have to live in an unpainted house. You can get the right stuff. And I think that's pretty cool that we finally got there. Because it's been a lot of problems over the years with that. So let's move on down here. Oh, glues. Oh, the different kind of glues that we use in our house. So it also puts out a lot of different kinds of chemical compounds that are very hazardous. You know, so if say if you're instant, like this guy here, he's using that. I think that's pretty cool. I have no idea. This is a stock picture. I do not know this fella. And if he did, I wouldn't claim I know him. Anybody that wears safety glasses caulking? We're going to be quiet about that one. I think you could read the rest of the joke. But anyway, he's pretty serious about his job, as you can see, getting right down to it. But any kind of caulking compounds, or glue or anything like that, so that we use. And we use glue in a lot of different applications, you know, not just in putting our appliances together, but like if we're putting together certain types of wood products, MDF products, things like this that we have to glue, you know, like on our trim, things like that we have to, that literally need to be not only nailed but glued, they put out these toxins. And they can be definitely overwhelming. So watch it again, see if you see anything in the back of it. if you smell any kind of issues, you know, when you're doing it, just think about it if you're more sensitive to it. But one thing I would like to add here, and I'm going to put this, I should say this at the end, but and I, if I can remember of the program, I will. But not just as it's a cumulative effect. So maybe you might not smell that paint anymore. You not have some of this other, but it's already had caused a little bit of allergy or some sort of respiratory problems possibly. But then it just doesn't go away absolutely. It just kind of lingers and it stays with you. Then you got a little of this, a little of that. Now you got a big problem. So sometimes when I get called in to do one of these construction inspections or health issue inspections because of that, it's not, it cannot be pinpointed down to just one item. It's most of the time it's actually several items. And that's what the, that's what prompted me to want to do this show, to talk about that. So glues, think about your glues and make sure that all our glues are, you know, safe to be used indoors. And if they're not, let's just think about what can we do to make sure that, just keep our house open or ventilated or fans or something, or do it whenever we can do that. So let's move on down here to some more of our problems that we see, and that's carbon monoxide, CO. Now, carbon monoxide poisoning, we actually have carbon monoxide testers in the home, that, and it's code in most all places now, that if you have any kind of gas-fired appliances, and I'm 100% all about gas-fired, natural gas or LP, please, I am not wanting to discourage this because there is no need for that. Because if your appliances are burning properly, you're not having any kind of issues. If but that's why we have the detectors, just in case they are not working absolutely. And, you know, actually, I did a show on that you could go back to and a blogging about the different detectors out there. And so I'm going to default back to the other radio shows and back to our other blogs. And you could get the same blogs right there on our consumer advocacy when you sign up for it to learn more about it. But anyway, that, you know, the different type of testing that you need to do too, because it is colorless, you're an odorless, you don't see it, but boy, high exposures to CO can definitely lead to headaches, nausea, and I'm reading my notes here, and it says it literally can, in severe cases, death. And, you know, I guess like if you leave your car running in the garage and it's not opened, you know, naturally that, you know, that's the problem and will kill you. Whether it's purposely or not, that we want to make sure that it's taken care of. Here's one that I learned years ago. But anyway, this is very, very serious. Carbon monoxide, get the detectors, check out the past radio shows, check out our blogs, make sure you get the right detectors. If you have any questions, hit comment sections below. When you have to, you hit like and subscribe to our channel and ask me. I'd be happy to help you. And if I'm not available on special carbon monoxide, call your local fire district. A lot of times they'll have information on that too. So, but here's one that I found years ago, that, and wow, I did not know that this was that big of a deal until then. Formaldehyde. Formaldehyde, you think, well, the only time we got formaldehyde, Troy, is when people get buried, right? You know, at the undertaker, at the funeral home. Well, you know, they use the formaldehyde there, but I don't think it's going to hurt you there. It's kind of too late, you know, but we're talking about before there, but formaldehyde. So I did a job years ago, and the person could not have formaldehyde. So when I, in any of the products, because they were highly allergic because it was the toxin to it. And that's why it's important to know these things. Well, formaldehyde. Well, so I was hired to see, okay, what products have formaldehyde, what products don't. Oh, my stars. I was shocked. We got formaldehyde in all kinds of things. I got formaldehyde in my carpeting, some carpeting. I got formaldehyde in some of my painting. I got paints. I got some of formaldehyde in all my presswood cabinets have formaldehyde. At least they did then. You can get some now. The list went on and on and on. But what's the good thing about it is that we can get past it. So, okay, so I couldn't do the carpeting, right? So what we did, because it had them days, so we just did hardwood floors, which was even better. We couldn't do these presswood cabinets. So what we did is metal cabinets. So there are different, all kinds of ways of getting around it. But if you're allergic to formaldehyde, make sure you do a little research. And if you're working with a contractor, He's not going to know that you're allergic to these things. So you check into it, do some research yourself. And our, when you join our advocacy, we're going to have a whole list of different things of what causes, what's got formaldehyde, which doesn't. It's not up yet, but by the time you get this and you sign up for it and subscribe to our station, you will probably, our show, and sign up to our advocacy, you will definitely be able to get that. And that's kind of the, some of the things that you don't get if you're not a member of it. You get some of this free information, but there's other stuff, and you're going to get it free because you've already signed up for it, because you've already taken advantage of this opportunity I give you at the front of the show and at the rear of the show. But formaldehyde, make sure that it's taken care of if you're allergic to it. And, it didn't even dawn on me that this was much of an issue. So but anyway, we move on to something else here that I think more people are familiar with, and that's asbestos. Asbestos. Now, asbestos is a big word. We do a lot of things with asbestos that we don't, you know, that you do. We got hard asbestos, we got soft asbestos. And I know that there's been some debate amongst the environmental crowds. If you're allergic to asbestos, you know, and your doctor says that, you know, any type of asbestos, be aware. But hard asbestos, like on our asbestos siding on our homes, things like that, that's really not the same kind of a problem as soft asbestos. Or when the lawyers you hear on TV are suing and you can get, you know, join in on lawsuits for asbestos, boiler makers of that, you know, that used to use a lot of it. We used to have a lot of it in our homes. Oh, and actually, once again, I want you to check out our radio, our past radio show that we did, you know, several years ago. I think it was probably 3 years ago, 2 years ago, with Ryan Spell, sharp young man. And he does remediation for just that, for asbestos. But anyway, so you get soft asbestos is what we're really watching for, and that's our biggest problem, health-wise. I'm not saying the other isn't, but our biggest problem. Oh, real quick, like, so when we get hard asbestos siding, this is the crazy thing, just to show you exactly my point here. Hard against soft asbestos. So when you got the hard asbestos siding on your house, it's bad, it's not good, we talk about it, you know, but you have to pay, at least in the Midwest here, I have to pay extra for a dumpster to put my hard asbestos siding in. I can't mix it in with the rest of the trash, okay? That all makes sense, until they pick it up and they take it to the dumpster. Now, they don't put any type of lid on top of it that's going to keep the air from flowing out of it. So when it's the truck's driving down with that dumpster on the back of it, and that air is flowing out there, that dust is going everywhere. So it's going into the environment. But when it gets to the landfill, they dump it right beside my other trash. They don't dump it in a specific landfill spot. Now, I'm not saying certain states don't, or certain states are not evolving into that. But apparently, it's not that big of a problem that they have to worry about. But soft asbestos, where do we see soft asbestos at? Well, you're going to see soft asbestos, say, for instance, around our ductwork. Our older homes always had that wrapped around our ductwork for insulating values. And that's I'm not going to talk about how remediation or anything. I want you to go back and listen to our radio show that we did then on that. But that'll tell you more about what to look for, how to take care of it. But around ductwork's a bad spot. Another one, as believe it or not, is inside the ductwork, which I was shocked about that too. And Ryan talks about that on our show, about what type of grates, when the timing is, the years and stuff. We don't have that happening in the newer homes, but we definitely do on the older homes. And we still have a lot of older homes out there that has to be taken care of. And it's that soft asbestos, so that's really dangerous. So just think about that being an issue that we want to make sure is taken care of, or at least you're aware of it and know how to take care of it. Don't just start ripping it down. Now, honestly, I think a lot of people my age generation, we tore a lot of this asbestos out of the houses. We didn't know it was dangerous. We tore it out, we put up, you know, and didn't have it. Actually, back when I was doing it, a younger man, we didn't even have masks to even put on, even if we would have known it was a problem. That would have been adequate for them little fine fibers of asbestos. But now, you know, you can get these type of ventilator systems for your mouth and face, and I highly recommend that you do that. But for a lot of us, it never caused any trouble. But then again, how many of us that are dead at my age, you know, I'm not that old, but how many of us dead at that age from cancer that maybe had some of that? Remember that cumulative effect that we talked about earlier. So it's something to be seriously thinking about. And you drag a lot of, we're still bringing in different kinds of asbestos in on different products that we bring into our house. So if you're, think about that and do a little research, check our show out. Anyway, let's move on to the next one. And I know everybody's heard tons about this one. And radon. So basically what radon is, it's radiation poisoning. And let's see if I can find a little bit of notes on radiation here. Radon, well, it's a radioactive gas. And we talked about this on some of our shows. And exposure to it definitely can lead to lung cancer. As I am being told that it is the first, second is the cigarette smoking for lung cancer. If you don't smoke, you can still get lung cancer from radiation or radon. You hear me hesitate. You know, radiation is one of those things that helps you and or kill you. We use radiation for helping with cancer. We use radiation for all kinds of different things. So it's a matter of moderation, but if it's constant exposure to it, you're getting a lot of moderation. But I got family and friends that I live in California and I probably other states, but California, the air pollution is so bad that they're getting lung cancer, whether they're around any formaldehyde, asbestos, or radiation, or anything, just from the air. So, I don't know what to say about that, but you just want to make sure. Now, you've got ways of, once again, we got radio shows in the past that talk about radiation, just specifically dedicated to radiation, radon. And go to our shows and listen to that, because that's a lot more in depth. But this is our indoor air pollution that we're wanting to watch out for. And it's a simple fix. Now, see right here, this is the most popular way. And what we have here in this real quick fix, not this here, this actually is my high energy efficient furnace, but right here. And what it is just a vacuum, it's a little fan right here. And they just continue to put a vacuum up on underneath the foot of your foundation, up underneath your basement floor, which then takes out the radiation. There's another way too that we did for years before this system come up that actually worked quite well. And it's much cheaper. And what we would do, now I'm not saying this is going to pass any radiation courses if you got to take the test, because they're selling product. I'm trying to sell you a solution. I'm trying to give you solutions. But we would just take a 6-inch, sometimes a 4-inch, but I would always like to do a 6-inch PVC pipe. I'd stick it right into my concrete floor down below, kind of evacuate a little area around it. So as that releases that radiation gas would go right there. And then I would run that PVC pipe up and out of my house. And that PVC pipe would be high enough that it would act as a chimney and create a vacuum, a natural vacuum. And that would draw the air out by itself. And it usually worked pretty, pretty well, unless you was in a super high area of radiation. But radon is one of these crazy things that if I test for radon and it rained heavily or had a big snow and it melted down, my radiation levels goes up because the moisture pushes it up. But if it's been dry for a long time, the radiation, then you don't have as much, you won't have as much problem sometimes, and then it settles down. So if I get it tested and I'm really literally below any kind of problem areas, then that doesn't mean I might not get tested after a big rain or a storm or something and push it up. So just think about that being things to be watching out for. But it's real simple to fix, and it is something to be taken care of and watch out for. You get radiation off your cell phones, low battery. You get radiation off of your TV set if you set too close. Back in my younger days when color TVs first came out, when color TVs first came out. Oh, and I'm just talking to my producer. He's telling me about this fancy new TV for $2,000-some. My stars, these things are advancing. But anyway, I don't even know they have radiation anymore, but the old ones did. You couldn't sit too close. At least that's what everybody said. But anyway, now they're so big, he's telling me his TV's, I think, 72 inches. He does not have to. If he got up that close to get radiation, apparently he probably needs Braille on the screen. right? Oh, I know my kids are laughing. Anyway, let's move on to some more here. So we got biological pollutants? Really? What's a biological? That's crazy. Biological pollutants, they include bacteria, pollen, and molds, and they can definitely have great effect upon our health. And once again, cause a lot of these things cause the same kind of issues. That's why it's kind of hard to say it's only one thing causing it. But they cause allergies, asthma, and even infections. So yeah, wow. Let's move on to some of this here. We'll kind of see what we got here. Viruses. And let's just talk about this a little quick. I do want to go through this a little bit. I don't want to rush through this any faster. But biological pollutants are actually particles that come from living organisms. And they include things like bacteria, which we talked about, viruses, molds, and animal dander, which we're going to go into that a little bit more. And why they seem harmless, they definitely have an impact on us. And we all know that, like, you know, some people are allergic to cats, some people are allergic to dogs, and some people are just allergic to any kind of pet dust or hair. So we want to make sure all of that's taken care of. And if you really want to learn a whole lot more about it when you do sign up and you get the blogs, I go into a lot more detail than the show here, because we are time constrained here about how much time we can get in here. But we do want to make sure that that's taken care of. And viruses, they're definitely a problem. And it's kind of gross, you know, you think about it. You know, that these living things are, I mean, they're all around and they're living in our houses. They're living right with us, literally living beside us. Now, here's about bacteria, and we got different types of bacteria. Some of this stuff I didn't even quite know all this until I was doing the research for this radio show. So, you know, look right here, you got the four different common forms of bacteria. And some of it we've heard about, some of it we haven't. Of course, it's not something, you know, and we want to learn more about where all of this actually is coming from, the different types of this. I want to think about that. Okay, and we'll move on here. And, oh, I see some really great information on. Like I said, I got a whole lot of more better information. A whole lot more better. Is that even a word? Anyway, it is today. Yeah, so, but there's a whole lot more information to drill deeper into this, because these are very, very serious issues, especially the more we want to make. Heck, we got to make our houses airtight. We can't afford to pay these outrageous gas prices or electric prices, you know, to keep our houses warm. And they're only going up, you know, especially with the nuts running the place now. Seems like it's even getting more expensive than it used to be. Which I didn't go into that, but wood smoke, you know, is another one that we have. And I burn firewood, so that's a big pollutant also. But I didn't even mention that in this here, because most people don't burn firewood. But us country folks, we still do. So we want to talk about, move on here to different types of stuff here. Now, let's move in here to molds. We got past bacteria. Like I said, you know where to find that at. So let's move on to molds. Mold. We all know, and we hear a lot of mold issues. Now, mold is one of them other ones that's kind of like, you know, some of the kind of like some of the other products that we have, like radiation things that can help and they can hurt. Now, mold, you know, mold, some people are highly allergic to mold. Some people are not allergic to mold whatsoever. I happen to be one of those that mold doesn't bother me at all. So I'm lucky enough that I can even go into any of these houses that have it. But other people are extremely sensitive to molds. And it all started, actually, the lawsuits and stuff started in the early 2000. And it was over an insurance. You know, the true story is, it was over an insurance claim. The woman said your contractor didn't do a good enough job and she didn't want to pay. And the contractor said, I did. And she said, well, you didn't take care of the mold. And anyway, they took it to court. Contractor insurance company lost. And now everything's about mold. And apparently it is, you know, a problem for some people, and you want to think about that. But mold is not just inside, outside, but it's inside, and it's in everywhere. As a matter of fact, us that live in the Midwest or down south, we have probably some of the worst of the mold, because it's inside and outside, whereas up in our colder climates, they might have the mold on the inside, But when it gets down around zero or so, you know, that mold kind of goes dormant, and it doesn't, it's not a problem. But mold, so what we have is mold, is there different types of mold? And actually, when you do this, and I haven't put this into a blog yet, but I'll give you a scientific report, and it talks about all the different types of mold that we find here in the Midwest. But mold, so we got penicillin's mold. Well, penicillin saves lives, also helps with other problems, wink, wink. But also, my father-in-law, God rest his soul, he actually almost died because of the penicillin shot, because he was so highly allergic to it, and he didn't realize it. So, yeah, well, here's a quick story of mold. So I'm in here, and I'm talking to I went to the doctor, had to get the old man test a few years ago, and he said I had abnormal nodes. So naturally, my wife says, what the heck is a node? Heck, I don't know what a node is. So she sent my butt packing up back to the doctor. So I had to go back and ask him, what's a node? And he said, well, it's mold. You just happen to have an abnormal amount of mold growing inside your body. He said, but almost all bodies, human bodies have mold, and I guess all living bodies have mold that literally are growing inside of them. He just, because I am a Marine Corps Vietnam vet, I've spent long times behind, in the jungle where high mold. Well, he said it's growing inside of me, and he said not to worry, we just note it and just keep track of it. So there you are. But if you're allergic to it, you want to make sure that you take care of it. And that's not a problem, because this could kill you. And it makes a lot of people sick. Now, for testing, for some of this stuff, the viruses, I don't know what I'm going to tell you about how you're going to get that actually tested, or bacteria. But mold, right along with some of our other problem air pollutants, you can professionally get it done, which I highly recommend. But then I'm not going to take anything away, because it's legal in the court of law, you could go to Home Depot or Lowe's, and you can get little charcoal canister text, and they will literally help you. You take that, let it sit for a little bit, then you send it down there to the laboratory. The laboratory will take care of it, and scientific laboratory, and it'll break it all down for you. So that's really cool. So if you don't have the money for a scientific test, an expensive one, just go to Home Depot, get one of them do-it-yourself test kits. The same thing they have with, you got mold, you got lead, you got all kinds. They got all radiation, radon test kits. So you can do the same thing. So if you want to get a test kit that way, and you don't want to pay for a professional test because maybe you don't have the money, but these are literally admissible in the court of law. So apparently, they pass muster for that. But you want to make sure any molds, we talked about that already at the beginning, where molds occur, and they happen everywhere. Now, some of the really bad mold is like this black mold right here, and some of this mold like right over here. But we actually, some of my videos that you'll see out there under Galloway Building Services on YouTube, you'll literally see where I got mold so thick in the house that it's got hair growing on it, literally hair. That's gross. And if you want to learn more about mold, listen to our radio show. I got two different mold shows on there about mold. And Travis Boyer is the mold man. He does a fabulous job. He's extremely intelligent. And if you ever have any questions, listen to the radio show and then contact him personally. Or you contact me and I'll put you in direct contact with him anywhere in the country. This guy is an awesome man, and he will take his time to help you and walk you through the pros and cons of that. But you want to make sure that molds is a issue that we want to take care of. And molds are like, what causes mold is you mostly dark, damp spots, areas that stay wet. Like right here, you see this one here is probably, they probably had something hanging up there. I don't really know how that got out of control. This one over here is probably a water leak that's been sitting there for a while coming down the wall. It's probably what this one's caused from. But I'm not going to talk about how crappy this such trim is. Look at that. Huh. I didn't even see that. That's another story. But mold, you want to make sure that our house is mold tight. Now, we're going to move into something here that there's another issue that we always want to make sure we take care of. And I think all us pet lovers think about this already, but you know, people that are allergic, you know, to these animals and such, they have, you know, you got not just mice and, you know, not just cats, but your mice got pollutants on them. Not to mention they could also have lice and things, not your cats, but your mice and these varmints that live inside your house. They also drag this kind of mites and stuff in. But you got, we'll move right into it here, animal dander. Now, I put this picture here, a kitty cat here, because I am picking on my producer, Joey V. He is a wonderful cat lover. He's got wonderful cats, and I put the cat on here specifically for him. He's teasing me about my dogs because I have dogs and the dog hair is everywhere. Probably, and I don't know the cats much shed, but you know, they just a little bit of dander they have, it causes a little trouble. But I want to mix this in with dust mites, and I really want to talk about that because actually dust mites, you know, we get dust mites all over the house, and the dust mites and our animal hair issues, they kind of work hand in hand, especially if we have both of them, and because the hair has a tendency to get that. But look at this. What is a dust mite? My star, that's why I wanted to put it in here. Look at this thing. Oh, do you want to sleep with that? That's worse. Well, I know people that's got ex-wives that look better than that. You know, come on. Ugh. You know, and thinking that this is crawling around on you at night or through your house and through your clothes, in your dressers, in your closets. And believe it or not, that dust is not just only in that, but it's inside the ductwork. Remember, we talked about that earlier on ductwork. And every time that furnace turns on, you're just blowing them things everywhere. And it's not just dust mites, but we got bed bugs and all kinds of lice and things that are coming in, and they love to live in them kind of places. So dust mites are just nasty, nasty things. And so it's so important. You know, dude, we don't have to be rich to keep some of this stuff down. We can just be diligent and try to live as clean as possible. I know that it's almost impossible to keep everything absolutely clean, and you're always going to have dust, and you're always going to probably have dust mites, but we want to keep it down to a minimal. I mean, like, how often do we actually pull our stove out from behind, away from the wall to get behind it, or we get in behind a refrigerator and clean it behind that? I mean, I know we got our spring cleaning, and we got our fall cleaning, but we don't, you know, that dust happens quicker than every twice a year. Now think about that, or you too can have these lovely critters living in your house, living in your bed. And we don't want them on our kids. We don't want them on our cats or dogs. We don't want any of it. First time I saw one of them things, I don't know what was more gross, looking at the dust mites or live bacteria growing. They're both unbelievably sick. All right, so here's a way we can actually test for all these things. And like we talked about that a little bit, but here's a scientific method, which I think was very important. Start with a question. Do you have it? Why am I sick? What's happening? Why am I having headaches? Or, you know, maybe if it's a rash or things, that'll help kind of tell us, you know, for one, it tells us we got a problem. But then it sends us to this next phase where we do our research and find out about what it is or what are the different things that could be indoor air quality or pollution that could be causing that problem. And then you follow, just make a hypothesis, then you go to start experimenting, and then reach a conclusion. And that's the best way to start with it, and then you start trying to do your testing. You know, we can do testing professional. You can do testing, by some of these do-it-yourselfer kits. You know, they really are pretty good, and they definitely get you on the right path to get you started. But, you know, I honestly think an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So try to do a lot of this yourself, you know, instead of actually paying the money, and then see if you got something, because maybe you might have hidden issues with bacteria or viruses or formaldehyde. You know, some of these things you might not be able to find yourself, or they're just minute amounts that these detectors or tests might not necessarily pick up, but you can get, you know, but you're that sensitive that you need it. And in today's world, have you noticed that it seems like in today's world, a lot more people have a lot more allergies than they did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. We want to make sure that however sensitive you are, because it's that cumulative effect again. It's just building up and building up and building up and causing more problems. So indoor quality air testing, we talked about that, and some of the places that you want to look at and testing areas, you know, and we've already talked a lot about that as we went through. We want to make sure that we're, you know, our airs, you know, our furnace ductwork's clean and behind these areas are clean, our mold is taken care of. We can't use our exhaust fans when we're supposed to, bathroom exhaust fans, et cetera. Making sure that when we're cooking, you know, we don't have any kind of, you know, some people, and I'm one of them, we cook with, you know, greases and such. Well, that grease is also an air pollutant, you know. I didn't go in every tiny little single thing here, but this is a group of all kinds of issues, and that's why when we go to the blog, we get into that. But we have all these different types of issues that need to be attended to and thought about before, and where to test. And so that's why it's so important, because health, you know, in today's world, there's the only gift that you can't buy is health, but you can help yourself. So think about that. Be heads up on that. And these are just kind of talking about the indoor testing. I just wanted to show some pictures here of some weird things here, but look at this mold. And you think, wow, we got this growing inside our bodies. Yeah, some of us do, especially in when people live in wet areas. So I guess that's a good reason to move to Flagstaff or Phoenix or something, huh? Beautiful dry air. And then there's like right in here now with some more different types of testing here for our water. And some of this stuff is just absolutely gross. But we want to make sure that we take. I just kind of went through here. Kind of tried to be fast as possible, but think of what we want to make, some of the ways we can actually take care of this for our own self is moisture, cutting down how much moisture we have inside our home, poor air ventilation. And we actually have systems now for our super, you know, our greenhouses, our homes that are built green energy efficient, and that they're extremely airtight. I mean, we still put, you know, these backdraft doors and things in there for testing. We really want our houses airtight. That's nothing wrong with having a good airtight home, but it's not good to have an airtight home if you don't have the proper ventilation system that goes along with it. So it's really, really important to work with somebody that actually understands this when you are building your house or remodeling or anything, how to get the proper air infiltration. Organic materials like, you know, mold. You know, it says right here, I'm reading my notes, you know, the mold grows on food and it's on, and it gets on your, goes on your carpeting. Mold, I want you to listen to the show, radio show, because Travis is a lot smarter about all this stuff, but mold grows on everything. I mean, you see it on vinyl siding. Now, I'm not so much worried about vinyl siding having mold on it because it's not inside my house, but I'm just saying how I mean it grows. Any kind of organic material, it will grow on. So that's why mold won't grow on glass, you know, because it's an inorganic material. High humidity levels. So if you got a home that you're doing a lot of cooking in and you have that moisture up high, or, you know, if you just got a wet home, sometimes we have humidifiers that we put on our furnaces, which you can see, learn more about humidifiers on my YouTube videos. But we forget to turn that off. In the wintertime, we put moisture in our home. That's good. You don't want to be over 50%. Some people say 60. I'll say 50 for safety reasons. 50% humidity in your home. Anything like that, any more than that, then you are possibly creating health issues. So they want to think about, you know, during this, talking about the furnaces. So we got humidifiers. During the wintertime, we put water into the house. That's good. Actually, it helps you stay warm. And we talk about that on other shows. So that's good to have. Humidity levels help you feel a little warmer as long as it's not too much, it's not dripping. If you start seeing inside your home, if you start seeing moisture on your windows, inside your home, that's building up during the wintertime, that means you probably got too much moisture happening and you have poor ventilation happening, not necessarily any other problems like a broken seal or anything on your window because it's on the inside of your glass. But, you know, I mean, not between your glass, but inside. Moisture between the windows, the panes, that's a different story. But think about that. You keep, well, now, my notes say 60%. I still will say 50%. But you want to keep that humidity level down. Now, in the summertime, what happens is the folks don't turn down their humidifier on their furnace. They forget, naturally. You've got a million things happening in the world. So what happens is they build this, they forget to turn it on. Well, for us in the Midwest and down south, the last thing we need is more moisture, more humidity in our dadgum homes. I mean, we don't need it. Now, I know my air conditioner is a glorified dehumidifier, but even it has its limit. And if you don't keep that filter clean, you can literally see water being built up in your pan. And you see it rusted ductwork from too much moisture being pumped through the house, literally rotting out your ductwork from too much moisture. So make sure you do that. And you keep your minimal, hey, nothing else, get humidity gauge and put it inside your home if you think you got too much moisture or you think you don't have enough. They're really cheap. You can buy them for just a handful. You can get them at the Dollar General store for less than $5, but they might very well be a saver to you. Minimal sunlight exposure. Sunlight is absolutely potent natural mold eliminator. Let me say that again. Sunlight is a potent natural mold eliminator. It can dry out areas with high moisture areas and eliminate mold. If you already got mold growing, I don't know how much it might not, I kind of question if it'll totally eliminate it, but definitely it will make sure it doesn't grow and expand and get out of hand. And you want to make sure that you get plenty of, a lot of times what we'll do in the summertime, we'll pull our blinds and our curtains to keep the sunlight from coming in through the house, which helps cut down on how much heat that I'm getting. But if I have too much moisture in the house, that's another place mold can grow. So keep them blinds open as much as you can, at least where you can. And if you can't, and if you're like myself, I'm pulling them blinds. I'm pulling them blinds, but I'm checking. I'm making sure because, like you now, I'm educated in that. Make sure. Anyway, we talk about dust mites. We talk a little bit about that too, and dust mites, and they're on bedding, your clothing, your carpeting, your soft materials. They literally feed on dead skin cells, and that could cause allergic reactions too. And they're so small, you just literally can't see them, but you sure can tell their presence. So make sure you keep that plenty clean. Keep your dogs washed and clean. Now, we're going to have to kick that back to Joey V here about how he washes his Key Cat. What he's going to tell me is his Key Cat don't need wash. She washes herself. She's a little cleaner than a dog. But because I'm a dog guy, I don't believe it. Just being on here, Joey. We love you. But anyway, I even warned him that I was going to pick on him during the show. Anyway, though, think about that as you're doing it. And I'm just trying to give you some ideas on how we can reduce our indoor pollutants. But, you vacuum as much as possible. A dehumidifier at the right times of the year, when we're heavy, high levels of moisture. You want to put a air purifier with a HEPA filter in it. Great idea. Choose natural cleaning products, right, that are free of the VOCs and other harmful chemicals. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. Keep your pets keep pets outdoors or bathe them frequently. Well, my dogs don't live outdoors. The only time, matter of fact, my wife will kick me outdoors faster than she will the dogs. So, but hey, we got a nice doghouse going, so that's cool. Anyway, keep them clean. It's common sense things, right? Quit smoking. And if you are a smoker, of course, naturally quit smoking. But if you are a smoker, try to keep it outside your home because, I don't really know all of the research when it comes to secondhand smoke or whatnot, but I will say as an ex-smoker, when I enter a person's home that's a heavy smoker, I like the smell of cigarette smoke, but stale cigarette smoke in a house that's been in there and impregnates into the walls, into the carpeting, into your furniture, it stinks so bad that it gives me a headache and it literally makes me nauseous. sometimes when I leave some of these smokers' houses, I smell myself and I can't get rid of that dadgum stink of that smoke. It just kind of impregnates into my clothes also. So yes, absolutely. Try to not have that. Now, they say cigarette smoke. I guess marijuana smoke's all right, because, you know, I haven't seen any studies on that. But I don't know. Reckon you shouldn't be smoking in your house at all. Any kind of smoke. No, it's like, you know, here's one. And I know we don't talk about, man, it's not really smoke, but it's the fumes. And I love bacon. I do. I'm guilty of loving it. But if you cook that bacon too long and it starts to burn, bang, that's another one that sends out pollutants throughout the air. Anytime you burn anything on the stove, that sends out bad pollutants. So try to be a cook that pays attention, you know, and you don't burn your food. But these are things to make sure that you take care of. And, now, like I said, if you guys have any questions and you want to know more about all of this, I highly recommend that you go to the Construction Consumer Advocacy Institute, www, and you can go right to my webpage. You can sign up for a subscription, and you can automatically will get right now, because you listen to the show, and you'll be able to get a free subscription to that, get a lot more great information when it comes to all of this. Also, too, if you sign up now, you can get this free book on how to hire a general contractor. That right there is could save you thousands of dollars, let alone possible family issues, concerns. Wow, that's a problem by itself. And if you actually, at the end of this radio show, and you listen to it, you hit comments below, hit like and subscribe, and hit comment section, say, Troy, I watched the show, I'd like to have the book. Hit me up. We will touch base. We'll get your where I can send you an ebook to that, and you can actually help yourself too, and also help you with getting a good free subscription to the advocacy. Right now, this is all fairly being developed, and so, but by the time you see this show, we probably are well far advanced, because this show goes all over the North American continent, and we are going to push this heavy because it is that important for everybody's safety. We're all pulling this wagon together, folks, and we need everybody here working together. And if we all kind of educate ourselves, we won't have these problems. Well, thank you very much for watching our show. I appreciate you. And thank you, Joey V, for being our producer. And please don't hate me for the kitty cat stuff, but, you know, I warned you. Luckily, he's known me for a few years, and he still tolerates me. Well, God bless you all. Thank you. And, hey, hit comments, ask any questions. I love to answer questions. I used to teach building science at the college. Right now, I'm not doing any teaching. So as you can see, I'm kind of overwhelmed and wanting to talk to somebody. Give me a holler. Thanks, folks. God bless you.
Sponsored by Troy Galloway and Galloway Building Services. GallowayBuildingServices.com.